Time to recap McCook School Board of Education meeting for the month of July in our studios, Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well, Rich. Thank you.
He just told me it's going to be cold today. And I'm like, wait, tomorrow? Yeah, but no, you're right. It's 100 degrees usually about this time. It's like 110.
Oh, yeah. Gets hot here.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness. We already had our round of 110, stuff like that. We don't need any more.
Yeah, we're done, hopefully.
Hopefully so. You have been a busy guy lately, haven't you?
Well, we've been working hard, so...
Yes, you have.
That's good. It's good to work hard.
And can you believe we're in the mid part of July? You are counting the days until the start of school, aren't you?
It should have already happened, but I understand. Students need their break, teachers need their breaks, and rest and relaxation and time to go travel, so that's what summer's for.
One of these years, this guy is going to try to put a proposal in to start school in the mid part of July.
I try every year, and they just shoot me down.
Yeah, good luck with that. Exactly. Yeah. Right. All right, let's get to the meeting. You had, first of all, student fees, student attends, parental involvement, anti-bullying hearing first, didn't you?
That's correct. By state statute, we have to have all of those hearings on an annual basis. So last night we had those four topics covered, and so we open up the floor for anybody in any of our patrons to come in and speak about student fees, bullying prevention, parental involvement, and we'll just give them the floor and are prepared to take notes. What can happen from that if a patron comes and shares? We take that information, policy committee would meet, discuss it, and then that could engender a policy change. And so if what it says, like, oh, that's wise or that's smart, let's make a change, which then would in a later on or a board meeting later on could result in policy change. But we did not have anybody speak last night to those four during those four hearings.
So that took, yeah,
please. Yep, that was it. And board didn't speak. All I did was simply kind of talk a little bit about those policies. Some of those policies are actually addressed later during the regular board meeting. And those changes are because of state statute changes.
Move on to the regular board meeting from last night. We'll start first, reports, communications, public participation.
Yeah, we started off last night with some public participation. We had Sharon Bowling come in last night, and she wanted to just express her desire to make sure that the school district and the Board of Education and the administration always pursued the most highly qualified teachers possible. She's a retired teacher. She loves the profession. She cares deeply about the profession of teaching and wants to make sure that we always have our eyes focused on finding the highest and most qualified candidates. And she just, this is just something she wanted to do and share with the Board of Education. I feel the same way. We always need to pursue the very best we can. And so she wanted to give her comments last night, gave direction to the board, talked about what her concerns were. As we move into a world that has fewer and fewer certified teachers applying for jobs, that don't let that stop you from pursuing excellence. And I think it was very encouraging and really appreciate what Mrs. Bowling was sharing.
Anything else?
Yep. And then we had three other individuals' comments last night. We had a group of students that went on the NOR trip to Baja, Mexico, and that was a really neat experiential learning opportunity for kids. These students just came in on their own accord to kind of share how positive they thought that event was. And we had Aubrey Rogers, Rebecca Peterson, and Morgan Griffin, and her mom spoke, Catherine Griffin, and they were really just very positive about the learning experience, all that they saw, what they learned on the trip, the relationships and the memories they've built forever, and really appreciated the school sponsoring that, really appreciated the work. There was a lot of work. If you are aware, the NOR group had to raise a lot of money for that trip. And they did an amazing job raising what usually is raised in 2 years. They raised it in 1 year. Really appreciated the work that the sponsors did to raise those funds and to give those kids a great learning experience in Mexico. And so that was nice to have kids come in and talk about the event. I don't think we've had that happen before. Usually we do an organized event where they present. So it was really nice to have the kids kind of come in of their own accord. And even a parent and share what all the positive aspects of that trip to Baja, Mexico. So, and what I think they were concerned that maybe that we wouldn't do it in the future. And based off of everything I've learned so far, we absolutely will continue with that program into the future.
Was it Mrs. Fisher and Mrs. Bloomy?
Yes, those are the two sponsors. Yeah. Yep. And so they got kudos from the kids and the parents that were there.
I remember when they were in here talking about it beforehand. It was going to be a great, a fun trip, but it was going to be it wasn't going to be easy. They had to do some work there.
So much work. Yeah. Yes, so much work, and so running all kinds of concessions. I think they did run the booth this summer at the for the Little League baseball at Felling Field. Just looking for all different avenues to raise money. I know I bought cinnamon rolls from some and from the group and from individuals, and actually I really appreciate the community support of NOR. Actually, our community did a great job supporting those kids, and I think it should be said that those dollars were not wasted. Those kids got an experience that I would like to have. I didn't have that type of experience in high school. I haven't had it as an adult, for that matter. So I really appreciate that we saw the value in this, that we had kids that were really encouraged. Now, I think most of these kids are looking at careers in sciences, and so it was, and not all of them, but some of them, and so that's exciting too. These kids get to experience something that they want to go in and do in the working world someday. They have some hands-on experience they can take with them. It's only going to make them better in that field in the future.
All right. Do you have one more on there?
And that was it.
That was it. Any public comments?
That was the public comments.
Yeah. The consent agenda, approval expenditures, payroll, and reports from staff members and committees.
Yeah, we did have a policy committee. Mr. Barger, our policy committee chair, spoke about that we met the week prior to go over some policies that were shared with the board previously. And one of the things we like to do is send those policies out to all the board members, collect feedback, and then meet to discuss the policies. We had quite a few that we had to go over. Now, some of those policies were simple changes to existing policy. I think we had about 10 policies, right, approximately 10 policies that were just changes anywhere from adding a word or two or to changing complete paragraphs and rewriting the text, basically, and leaving some of the original there. So most of these changes come from legislation that's passed in the unicameral. And I spoke earlier during the comments on the public hearings about parental involvement. And so we had some very significant changes made to our public involvement, community involvement in schools policy based off changes in statute at the legislature. And so, and that had to do with parents having a little bit more authority over having their kids being not subject to studying content that they find objectionable, those types of. So that legislation passed, and then it goes into our we look at it, review it, we fit it into our policy, rewrite the policy, present the policy to the board for approval. And so that's kind of what the policy committee does. And we had, like I said, about 10 changes, and then we had five new policies. Is that right? Four or five new policies that were brand new to us that we'd not had previously. And I think we had four. We had four new policies, and I discussed each of those policies. And they're actually later on in the agenda, and I can maybe talk about those when we talk about action items. But I shared about each of those policies individually, what those changes meant. Some of them really weren't that significant because we actually already had policies in place that kind of matched the intent of the state unicameral. And so, but I shared a little bit about those at that time. And then that would be all for policy committee.
Career yep. And college readiness presentations provided by building leaders.
Yeah, so each of the principals came up in front of the board, and they were given time to talk about how they prepare kids for careers and college. And so that it's really important that we kind of, that's part of our mission, right, to equip all students to succeed. And so we need to make sure each of our buildings has a plan to help to expose students and engage students in careers and preparing them for college. So there's the academic piece to it. So you have your core program, your core instructional classes that prepare kids for college. That's your math, your reading, your science, your English language arts, making sure that those are high quality, sound programs at each of our facilities that are preparing kids for college. And also we need to prepare kids for careers. So that's your hands-on, your technical skills, woodworking, small engines, drafting, computer-aided design, those types of classes, making sure we have strong programs there. And also exposure. So exposure matches both. So we teach kids about colleges and after high school, you're going to go to a technical school or you're going to go to a college, that a four-year school. So we want to expose kids to all the different options they have there. And we also want to expose kids to different types of careers that exist within the community. So we have Valmont, and we have Parker, we have the hospital, we have the YMCA, we have all kinds of careers within our community. You have a lot of careers in agriculture, a lot of careers in finance. So at each level, so starting at McCook Elementary School, where it doesn't get too technical at that level, but it is primarily about exposing kids. Okay, so you bring in bankers to talk about finance. You bring in the public power to talk about power jobs in that sector. When you get to Central Elementary School, it's still pretty much exposure, but you start getting a little bit more talking about what you'd like to do, what are the things that you see yourself doing in the future. But again, you're continuing to expose kids at all levels, to be honest with you, but at Central, and then into the junior high, even gets more complicated, where they do this, they do a program there. Oh, reality, it's a reality based day where the kids learn what it's like to have to work in a budget. What can you buy? A house, a car? Can you have kids? What helps you earn more money? Is it more education, more training? Is it to be an entrepreneur? Those types of things. And so then you also start doing some interest inventories at the junior high level. You actually start taking kids to college. We don't go too far in that at the junior high level, but we go to MCC here in town, and we take our kids up to Mid Plains and North Platte. So we start that exposure at that level. Then when you get to the high school, now we really start talking about exposing kids to career, getting kids actually into workspaces. We expose them to all the different four-year schools, most of them in-state, but we also do look at schools out of state. And we have programs that are more specific to careers. So you're doing we got welding, woodworking. You've got business classes. You got video graphics. You got well, everything. We got our health careers class. We have our agricultural program with kids going into the ag sector. So we truly try to start to expand it. Everyone knows about Bison Days. What some people might not know about, a new program that we brought in this last year was a program called JAG. And JAG is really focused on getting kids in the building, out and meeting folks in the community, developing relationships, helping students build the skills that they need to acquire jobs, resume development, interview skill sets, speaking skill sets, those types of things. So each building, going on a little long here, but in summary, we try to prepare kids from grade kindergarten through grade 12 to go into the world as a productive citizen. And we want to prepare every kid when they graduate from McCook High School to be able to make the choice that they want to make. If they want to go into the working world, then we've set them up to be successful in it. If they want to go onto a college or a technical school, we've set them up to be successful in that. And so that's our goal. And so that plan that covers all 13 years is that those plans all are linked together to prepare kids to be able to do that.
Pretty cool. I think that's neat. And all the your building leaders do this.
Yeah, each of the building leaders presents what they do, but they have to work across the board in a unified collegial manner to make sure that we take kids from step zero to being ready to go out and do the work and go to school.
Superintendent's report, which I take it we're going to start the bond information events. That's really picking up, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had a few already, and some I actually even forgot on here. But we did do cruising on the bricks. I didn't have that mentioned in here, and so we were out there with the booth. I had some great conversations with local people, sharing the bond. What was really nice to hear, and I expressed this to the board, I visited with a person who was staunchly against the bond the first time, but after talking about the new bond project, what we're really focusing on, what we're trying to do for our kids, he said he's all in on this one. So really excited about that, and I had some other very productive conversations with folks. This is a good project, and so these are opportunities for people to see what we're trying to do. We also had a tour. We had tours on July 10th. We did a tour at 12 o'clock and a tour at 6 o'clock. It was good to have some folks from the community come in, some of our patrons, walk through the junior high. It does most of the speaking for us. The building really tells the tale of why the board has chosen to put this bond project before the community. You can see what the concerns are live and in person. You can see where we have space issues. You can see where we have sound isolation issues with curtain walls. You can see where we have structural issues. And you can see how we have safety issues as kids travel outside the building between classes. going back and forth from the high school building and the junior high building all day long. We have kids walking outside. And that's just not a great, it's not safety. It's not safe. When we built the schools back in the 50s and 60s, that was fine. But today you want to change that and protect our kids, do a better job protecting our kids. Also, we went to Kinship Point. That was yesterday. Had a wonderful presentation there and were able to engage with the folks at Kinship Point. That was one of the best ones we've had. Some of the best questions, most probing, most interested. They took notes. It was really a great presentation. Really appreciate the folks at Kinship Point for being in attendance and asking great questions and really considering this bond project deeply. We have some other events coming up tomorrow, July 16th. Again, we'll do tours at noon and at 6 o'clock. On Monday, again, noon. On Monday, July 21st at noon and 6 o'clock. And on Tuesday, July 29th at noon and 6 o'clock. Those are all tours, opportunities to come in. I try to do a very, very, very short presentation because the goal really is to get folks through the building. And if you only have an hour, we need to get moving because if you're on your lunch break or whatever. So I'll give a little, just a few minutes at the beginning, kind of talking about the project itself, take a few questions, and then we go on the tours. And, of course, questions are asked during the tour, which is really kind of what we want, for people to see the building and ask questions as we go. We also are going to be attending Highland Park. That'll be tomorrow. We're going to be doing a presentation there. And we're at the Senior Center on Friday, July 25th. And we do have the Hillcrest this Friday. I won't be in attendance at that one, unfortunately, but we have a couple of members of our administrative team and from a group called McCook on the Move that will be in attendance at Hillcrest on Friday for that presentation. And then also, we'll be at the county fair. We'll have a county fair booth, and one of the, I think the community building will have a table set up. So if you want to come by and ask questions, we'll have somebody there during those hours. And so have a lot of presentations, a lot of opportunities to engage with us coming up. And so we look forward to visiting with everybody who has questions about it and wants to learn a little bit more about the project.
So would you say the number one question? Feedback to you at some of these these stops so far, you know, obviously folks worried about the money situation,
sure.
but do they realize, they're probably asking, why can't you just take your existing buildings and just do some improvements here and there? And do they realize that you can nickel and dime that to death and it's still not going to be,
right.
It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah, that is one of the key issues with our projects. We have four. One of them's safety, one improving safety. We want to improve our occupational career training, our shop classes, our tech classes. We need a better space for those. But the other key, the primary key point for this bond is structural stability, integrity of that building. And so it's the building really, I appreciate what they did in the 60s to build our kids a building to go to school in, but it really wasn't built to last. And so one of the things that I told our architects and engineers in their very first meeting is whatever we build, it needs to be a building that lasts 100 years. It just has to. We have to build a quality building that the community doesn't have to worry about for 100 years. This facility was not designed that way. If you come through, you'll see why it wasn't designed that way. But we have structural parts of the building that are sinking into the soil that have to be excavated, removed, and torn out. And so if you're going to tear apart the building, you might as well replace it. The building also, the engineers went through it because we were thinking about a remodel at the very, very beginning. Because it, you know, you'd think a remodel would be less expensive. But that's not necessarily the case, especially after talking to the engineers, that this building as it is, you can strip the walls down, you can put in new ceilings, new walls, everything, and you got a 20-year building because it's just not structurally sound. To bring it up, you basically have to build a new building. The problem is underneath the building as the building sinks into the soil there. And so that's one of the reasons we're going to tear that part of the building down with this project, if it passes. This part of the building, the last stage would to build a parking lot where the current academic area is. So the academic area where the classrooms are gets torn down, last after the new building's built and a parking lot's put on top of it. We're not going to put a building back on that spot. And so we feel like we've got a good plan to build a building that's going to take us well into the future. And that building that we currently have is going to be replaced. I've said this before. It's going to be replaced at some point because its lifespan is very limited. And so we need to do something. And it's going to be, that's one of the reasons so that we are putting the bond before the folks at this time. And also the high school is actually 10 years older. It's a stronger, more well-built structure. But it's going to be 100 years, 30 years from now. So if we pass the bond now, 30 years from now, we'll end the bond. We'll have it all paid off, the junior high. And we'll be facing a high school project because the high school will be 100 years old. That's a pretty old building for daily kid use. And so what we didn't want to do is have two bonds on top of each other. We don't want to get so far down the road that we have a junior high bond, and before that's paid off, we have to pass another bond to build a new high school. That just gets, well, everyone knows that's very expensive, and that's a big tax burden. And so another reason why we wanted to do this project now and why we're looking at a new building.
All right. And the dates, folks will vote on this?
Yeah, they should be receiving their ballots. And there's some debate about this, though, but they'll be mailed out on July 21st. So July 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in there, you'll get your ballots in the mail if you're a registered voter. And then you take your ballot, you fill it out right away and mail it right away. If you don't, if you get, towards the start of August, into the early part of August, after you probably can still mail it, but like August 5th, I would just drive it down to the courthouse and drop it in their slot. It's just that mail doesn't always go as fast as we think it should in McCook. I've heard it goes a little faster if you take it inside and don't leave it in the mailbox, but I have not tested that, so don't trust me on that. We just would like people to make sure they get it into the courthouse and they have a slot. If it's not in on August 12th, By end of the day, 4 o'clock, I think it is, on August 12th, the ballot will not be counted. And so we want your voice to be counted no matter what your vote is. We want your vote to come in. Please have it in before 4 o'clock on August 12th.
You had some additional discussion. First, additional teacher training?
Yeah, due to one of our policies, one of the policies that we passed had to do with behavior intervention and strategies of working with students who are having behavior issues. And we really had basically this three-tiered system in place. And so I wanted to point out to the board when the policy was changed, there are a couple of tweaks to that. We have to create a team that is in charge of behavior at the district level. And then we have to do a little bit of training with the behavior tiers and the language involved with that. But it was very small changes. But I wanted the board to be aware that with the passage of the policy that's later on, there would be some training and some changes that would take place because of it. The next thing that I had on there, and that was, I think that was my last one. Oh, no, I had the pyramidal response to intervention framework. That's actually linked to the one I just shared. So they're both basically the same.
Business manager's report?
Yeah, Mr. Gross visited about being 83% through the year. Expenditures are at 82%. And revenues are over 100%. And he wanted to explain to the board why that is. He said this year with the tax credit, everyone gets the tax credit on property taxes. We received all of the tax owed to the district already. And so generally, we don't receive all of that until actually the start of the next school year. And so when you put out your budget, you don't expect to get all those tax receipts right away because, there are delinquent taxes, and those delinquent taxes come in at a later date, and usually that adds up to a few dollars. And since that didn't happen this year, we're actually at, we're a little bit ahead this year. Now, one of the things he wanted to make sure the board knew is when we go into next year, we have to change how we see those dollars come in because we'll start actually behind because we've already been paid. So those delinquent taxes won't be coming in at the start. And September 1st is the start of our fiscal year. So after September 1st, those dollars won't be coming in. So he wanted to let people know that. Had over $16,000 of lunches served in the last month. We're also continuing to work on the high school. I'm not sure everyone knows, but we're updating the hallway that is between the commons area and the entrances to the gym. So if you come to a basketball game or a volleyball game this upcoming school year, you're going to see new drywall on the walls, drop ceiling. We'll really spruce that area up. It's going to look really, really sharp for our patrons and our students. Also talked about the Central Playground. If you've driven on the west side of Central Elementary School, you might have seen that we've put down new blacktop. It was really pretty rough before, and it looks a lot better now, and they're almost done with that project. We had a surplus sale. Most of the community knows we raised $18,000, which is a lot more than we've ever raised before, but we did have a tractor for sale in that auction, so that's one of the reasons it was boosted. But it went really, really well. It was online, and it did a nice job for the school district. And all of our state reporting is complete for the school year, so we're basically ready to leap into 25-26 now.
Board member comments?
Brad just mentioned that there's an area membership meeting for board members in North Platte, Nebraska. It's an evening meeting that board members attend on September 3rd, which is a Wednesday. And to be prepared to go up to North Platte and be part of that, they learn a lot about upcoming events and education. They learn a lot about changes and statute and how that impacts their role as a board member and what to be looking out for as a school leader. And also it's an opportunity to network a little bit with other board members from across the area.
New business. You had approval of a contract.
Yes, this was great. We had approve a contract for Tara Marie Sides for the 25-26 school year. She's going to be taking the role of junior high, senior high vocal music teacher. And so we're really excited to bring her on. She's going to be continue to do some university work. She does have a bachelor's degree, has education training, and she's really excited about fulfilling that role. And we're excited about bringing on board. And she's a great kid, very, very intelligent. And so we're really excited about bringing Tara Marie on board. Also, we have approved new lunches prices every year. I sit down in July, and I think I tell you we raised the lunch prices 10 cents. We have been directed to try to get caught up with the federal lunch prices. And until we do, we need to add 10 cents to our lunches on an annual basis. And so we are adding another 10 cents to our lunch prices and breakfast prices for the 25-26 school year. And we are still about a dollar behind. So okay. It's going to take a long time to get caught up. Then after that, we had the approval of policy updates presented, and the policies actually approved were 1200. It's 3131, 3132, 3410, 4003. I know everyone's writing these down really quick, so I'm just going 4009, 5001, 5004, 5101, 5103, 5202, 5301, 5401, 5401, 14, and 6400. And I did give, during the board meeting, I did go over each of these and gave the brief synopsis of the change that was made to that existing policy, and all of those policies were approved. Then I have four policies that were new to the district. The first one was on dress code. This dress code policy gives administrators a little bit of direction on how to approach certain situations. There are sometimes dress codes are faith or sensitive, things like that. Just giving direction to schools to make sure you don't overstep your bounds and violate someone's rights. So there was some guidance there. It doesn't really change. It doesn't really change what we do here in McCook. We do make reference of this new policy to our student discipline policy, which is already in existence, 5101. And so, like I said, it doesn't really change anything. It's more of, hey, just make sure you don't. And then that was approved. Approved policy 5507 for foster care student transportation. Just some clarity. This is really kind of the way we've always worked, but provided it was a state statute requiring school districts to put this into policy, which we did, but it's just making sure that students that are placed into foster care have transportation to their school of origin. And in McCook, that only happens, we don't have multiple high schools, we don't have multiple elementary schools with different grade levels, or with the same grade levels. But it could happen if Culbertson or Indianola has a student, and we have to work at, students placed in Indianola, they're a McCook kid, we got to figure out transportation to get them back to their school of origin, which is would be McCook if they came from McCook. So, and just basically saying you got to figure it out. And HHS is part of that process as well. So, but it's kind of a practice we've always followed. Approved for policy 1613 or 6113, electronic communication devices and cell phones. So last year, we did a lot of work and passed a policy to basically say ban cell phones at school and during school functions. And so this policy is required by state statute to pass a policy like this. And then in this policy, kind of like the one above with dress code, we make reference to our student discipline policy 5101 that will tell folks what the consequence is for violating the policy. And so we already handled it. We already did it. And actually, we already got feedback from we met all the requirements in the legislation. So basically, we just had to pass this policy and make reference to our student discipline policy. So no change for us. And that has been a highly successful policy change that we made last year. I know that we couldn't say 100% of the time students didn't have phones out, but I did not see a phone in a student's hand in a classroom all year, and I was pretty impressed by that. And so prior to that, yeah, it was hard to walk down the hallway without seeing a cell phone out. So it was a big positive change for the high school. Really, really proud of the board for passing that policy basically a year before we were required to. And then we had approved policy 6931, behavior intervention in the classroom. I spoke a little bit about this. This is that three-tiered program that we have in place. We already actually have this, and it just requires us to maybe add a leadership team at the district level and do some training with staff, which we'll do during the course of the upcoming school year. And that policy was passed as well.
We're already to positive comments.
Yes, we'll get me down to my notes here. We have Amanda started by thanking, Scott started by appreciating the maintenance work that has been done this summer. We've had our maintenance crew going hard all summer. They've worked very, very hard, and it's been hot out. They've been in buildings, they've been outside, and the buildings are getting into ship shape, and the new construction's great. We've actually poured concrete in several places. We put a storage room in at Central. All maintenance guys did all of that. They're doing an outstanding job. Scott wanted to recognize that. And also wanted to appreciate the community group McCook on the Move, which is helping to push the bond issue. And they have been very supportive and being a pro or a vote yes type of group. Amanda wanted to thank Mr. Gross and myself for the bond, working on the bond and presenting the project to the community and answering questions so that people can be an informed voter. And she really appreciates the work that we've done this summer. Mike appreciates the extra work that has been done to put the bond before the community, kind of the same as Amanda, to go out and to visit places like Kinship Point, be it cruising on the bricks. And we've got tours, and we have other events coming up. Really appreciates our willingness to share what the bond project is with the community, so again, so they can be an educated voter. Charlie appreciated the students coming in on their own and talking about the NOR trip to Baja. He said it was a wonderful time. It sounds like it was a wonderful time for students, and that the students learned a lot and have lifetime memories of that that'll impact them in their future decisions. So that's great. Jesse added to the bond conversation. He just sees that there's a lot of work going on, and that we've put some that folks are putting a lot of time and energy into it. Mr. Lyons and his tours, his wonderful tours of the building, and everyone else just appreciates the work that's going towards informing the community members. And Jeff said that summer school was awesome, had an awesome summer school. Really, our teachers did an amazing job. Our kids did an amazing job, and just appreciates Joel Bedner, Greg Moreland, and Molly Sharp, who's actually in charge of summer school, for all the work that they put into it. Brad actually read a letter from the Commissioner of Education. The Commissioner sent him a letter thanking me for the work that I've been doing as part of the Commissioner's Superintendent Advisory Council. And it's an opportunity for me to go and visit with the Commissioner on a regular basis and talk to him about what's going on in schools and to keep him informed as a leader at the state level. And then I commented again on summer school. I was able to visit, walk through the classrooms. It's just a wonderful time for kids to explore. It's more exploratory. They do reading, they do mathematics, but they also explore and get their hands-on learning. It's really a neat environment. Teachers, put out tents and all kinds of things to go with a theme. It makes that much more enjoyable. I think our teachers who sponsored the NOR trip really appreciate the work that they put into it. And I appreciate the parents and the kids that are involved with that, and I appreciate the community for supporting that trip. Trips like this really make a difference for kids, and so really appreciate everybody that's been involved with that, and that's all of us. And then I appreciate Mr. Lyons and his tours of the buildings. He does a great job. And he got it down under 3 hours, so that was good. He has so much to show us. So he got down like 45 minutes. I'm really impressed. So anyway, That's the board meeting.
And once again, as you talked about earlier, a number of tours still coming up.
Yes.
Kenshin Point today at 2:30. You've got tours for Wednesday. Oh, no, that was yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm
we
sorry.
Had kinship yesterday.
I'm just looking at the agenda. So, got one for tomorrow, Monday, the 21st, Tuesday, the 29th.
Yep, that's right.
And Highland Park on the 16th, Senior Center on the 25th, and you're working on one for Hillcrest,
Hillcrest
right?
will be this Friday.
This Friday.
I won't be at 10, so I don't have the time written down, but we will be at Hillcrest this Friday.
And the Redwood County Fair booth at the community building, that's where you're going to be on starting next Wednesday.
Yeah, that we should have. If I'm not there, there'll be a representative for the school who will talk about the facts of the bond, and we might also have people from A Cook on the Move who might try to encourage you to vote. We just want to present the information, myself and this. I think just educating folks will help them understand the value and why the board brought this before the people.
Next school board meeting coming up Monday, August the 11th.
That's correct.
Right before school starts.
Yes, actually, the 12th, the teachers come in. First day for teachers is on the 12th. So
wow.
We'll be busy that morning.
Here we go, 25, 26.
That's right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Rich.